You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect. Our next guest, Craig Huey, joins us. You can find information about Craig at craighuey.com, a voter guide and political website that offers the Huey Report, a powerful tool that transforms our politics and culture for the better. He's a speaker, political commentator, internationally successful business owner, and author of The Christian Voter, How to Vote For, Not Against Your Values to Transform Culture and Politics, and the author of The Great Deception, 10 Shocking Dangers and the Blueprint for Rescuing the American Dream. Craig, welcome on to ABQ Connect.
Steve, it's great to be with you.
And now I mentioned the books. Is that your latest work or is there something newer?
The Great Deception is the newest book.
Okay.
And with The Great Deception, I have outlined 10, what I call 10 shocking dangers, basically the key issues facing every American, every Christian, every taxpayer, every parent, grandparent, every worker, anybody who's retired, they face these 10 dangers. And then I have a blueprint for turning it around. So I came out with a book in light of this election that people could give it to kids or grandkids. People could read it and be equipped to understand the issues of today and to better understand politics and how important the evangelical vote is, understand what pastors can do, understand what the individual within a church can do, kind of an action plan, how people can actually be salt and light.
Very good. Well, today's topic, primarily we're going to be talking about evangelicals and encouraging involvement politically, and if we don't, you know, what some of those dangers might be. But let's talk a little bit, Craig, about there's issues, you know, in any political race or discussion, but then there's issues which evangelicals seem to act on where they may not on other issues. Can you address that?
Yes. You know, one of my books is called The Christian Voter, where I came out and gave non-negotiables. And by non-negotiables, I mean those are key issues that face every born-again evangelical Christian there is. For example, timely right now is the issue of Israel. How all of a sudden we find ourselves in the midst of enormous hatred for the Jewish people. We find ourselves with college campuses crying for the destruction of Israel. We're seeing the state of Israel, in danger like maybe never before since its existence. And what is quite disturbing are how so many politicians are either undermining Israel right now or they're turning their back on the Jewish people. And what we're seeing is something that, you know, in the Word of God says, I will bless those that bless thee and I will curse those that curse thee. I don't want to be cursed. I don't want America to be cursed. So as a Christian, one of the primary things I want to do is make sure that when I vote, I'm voting for a candidate that will stand by Israel. That's, to me, a non-negotiable. There's the issue of life. Steve, there's the issue of protecting the unborn. And Psalm 139 is just one of many where we talk about how God knew you before you were even born and how God loves you and he has a plan for you. It's an amazing chapter of God's word, but we see it throughout God's word about the importance of life. And we need to be able to say, you know what? I may not like this person's personality or I may not like their tweets, or this person, you know, I'm not too sure about, you know, who they are on some of these issues, or I might disagree with them on an issue or two. But of great importance, are they willing to kill a baby at birth? Are they willing to allow for partial birth abortion? What is their stand on it? And those candidates that stand for pro-life, those are the ones that's a non-negotiable. And I would suggest that the immoral hidden tax of inflation is one of those key issues, because it's an immoral tax caused by government overspending. And people don't know why prices are rising, but it's because of the government not being fiscally responsible and going into debt, which is contrary to scripture. I would also suggest schools, protection of our children, and fighting for homeschooling, fighting for Christian institutions from grade school all the way to college. Right now we see the federal government attacking Grand Canyon University and so many other institutions. So that's a non-negotiable. So there are non-negotiables that we need to be able to vote for, not against our values.
And Craig, if you could too, speak to the Christian that exclusively delves into politics when it involves sanctity of life and public expressions of faith and what have you. But when it comes to things like the open border or know, a powerful government openly hostile to everything that the Bible believing Christians hold dear, those areas, it just seems like often Christians remove themselves from the involvement I hesitate to say politics, remove themselves from vocally making their position on other issues as well understood as they are on those areas like sanctity of life and public expressions of faith.
Right. Well, you know, politics is something that from the beginning of time was something part of society. Jesus had to deal with the politics of the Roman Empire. The early church had to deal with Caesar and what was going on there. Throughout history, Christians have been voices, and voices for truth, voices for justice, voices for shaping the culture and thus shaping the politics of the day. And you take a look at the early church, Steve, you see that they had a perspective that they were there to be salt and light. They were there to love their neighbor. And one of the ways we love our neighbor is doing what's necessary. Scripture is clear about the importance of borders within a country. Right now, we have a situation where we have approximately 10 million people who have come into the U.S. illegally. What is that doing to those people who are renting right now? It's driving up rental rates. What's that doing to taxpayers? And really, because we're in a state of deficit spending right now, the prices on everything you go to the store, you're actually paying for free transportation, free rentals, free phones.
I can almost see your fingers doing the quotes for free.
yeah. So you know, you have a situation where as a Christian, we need to be able to vote our values and be able to support the candidates where we're voting our values. If we're turning our back on the campaign because I don't know the issues, I don't know the candidates, well, I'm waiting for the rapture to come when everything's falling apart, or my vote doesn't count, or I think there might be voter fraud, and so I'm not going to vote. that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy that Christians are going to continue to be marginalized.
Yeah.
The war on Christianity, the war on faith from the judiciary, the war on faith from the regulators and the government out of Washington, D.C., and in states themselves, the hostility that we see. Just think of this. There's 80 million evangelical born-again Christians. Usually they're about 23 to 24% of the total vote nationwide. In New Mexico, you have a solid group of Christians that will vote conservative. Evangelicals vote 84%, 80, sometimes 86% conservative. Right in New Mexico, they vote conservative. And so they're the most reliable. And yet, in any church you go to, any church where you got it, may have a Bible teaching pastor, you may have a spirit-filled fellowship, some 20 to 30% of those people in those churches are not registered to vote. They've either never registered or they've changed their address or changed their name. They're not registered to vote. You take that and you move that 10 to 15%, what you're going to have is a change in the election. And here's another heartbreak, Steve. Out of the evangelical Christians, in this upcoming election, in any church where those evangelical Christians are actually registered to vote, there's going to be some 30 to 40%, depending upon the geographic area, who do not go to the poll. You know, for a variety of reasons we talked about, maybe it would include they were going to vote, but they got sick. They were going to vote, but they lost a ballot. They were going to vote, they didn't know who to vote for. You know, just so many different excuses. Life gets in the way and they don't vote. And yet that's why the radical left is able to win. They identify who their voters are on key issues like abortion, key issues like student loan forgiveness, key issues like hating Israel. They identify who they are, and then they make sure they go to the poll. They make sure that they have babysitters. They make sure that they get text messages, phone calls, somebody knocking at the door. They make sure that they get a ride to the poll. They make sure they get a 90 to 100% turnout. And Christians sit back and they lose one election after another.
Yeah, mobilization seems to be a key, and it's something that, as you're mentioning, the whatever you want to say, left, progressive, seem to be doing in mass, where evangelicals or the right seem to have areas that they can improve that. If you just tuned in, we're visiting today with Craig Huey, author, speaker, and CraigHuey.com is his website. You want to go there. And we mentioned the book, The Great Deception, as well as The Christian Voter. Both of those, you'll find information on that website at CraigHuey.com. Craig, we're going to take a quick break. Can you stay with us?
I can.
All right. When we come back, we're going to take another look. We mentioned getting the vote out. We're going to talk about how the evangelical community can do that and other things to consider in this election year and things to consider in a non-presidential election year and how important that is. Some of those topics are on the way when we come back on ABQ Connect. Well, welcome back in, right in the midst of a conversation with Craig Huey. He's the founder of CraigHuey.com. You can go there and get voter guides or political information. The Huey Report is something that Craig puts out regularly, a powerful tool to transform our politics and culture for the better. And speaker, political commentator, internationally successful business owner, and author. We mentioned the Christian Voter, How to Vote For, Not Against Your Values to Transform Culture and Politics, as well as his latest, The Great Deception, 10 Shocking Dangers and the Blueprint for Rescuing the American Dream. Information on both of those at CraigHuey.com. Craig, we talked in our first segment somewhat about evangelicals and what might get their attention when it comes to politics, where other issues might, and really touched on a little bit how some of those issues they think that they shouldn't, you know, concern themselves with really are something, if they take a deeper look, it is stuff that impacts, everything that Bible-believing Christians hold dear. And we also touched on how the left or progressives have mobilized their voters. Yes. And the fact that, you mentioned how many evangelicals actually, you know, the percentage that did not get out to vote in the last presidential election, in addition to that concern, I mean, Craig, that aren't even registered to vote, they've got to get registered and then they got to get out the vote. And if you look at the numbers from not only the last election, but, you know, probably the last several elections, if the evangelical vote was mobilized, I mean, it would transform the leadership of our nation, not only in Washington, D.C., but on a statewide, countywide, and citywide level, school district-wide level. So as we look forward to the coming election,
yes,
what's the secret to getting the evangelical vote out?
Well, Steve, politics has changed. It used to be who was the most articulate candidate, who was the most handsome or prettiest candidate, who had the best policies. It used to be a variety of things, who spent the most money on TV commercials. None of that is true these days. And it all changed in 2008 with President Obama. Before he was president, he was a community organizer. He understood the value of data. He understood the value of mobilizing. And he learned the skills of connecting the digital world to the one-on-one world to make sure that people came out and voted. Well, he improved on that in 2012 at an extraordinary degree of refining it into an art. And so what you're seeing is that Democrats are probably 15 to 20 years ahead of the Republicans. But the other way, Republicans are 15 to 20 years behind. And I use the term Republicans or Democrats. God's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. Both parties have messed up. But the Republicans are usually the most conservative, and Christians, evangelical Christians, if they're going to vote, they need to be able to understand how to be able to mobilize the evangelical Christians. Now, these elections are very close. In the swing states that are going to determine the next president, I'll just give you an example. One of your New Mexico's neighbors, Arizona, the Republican candidate back in 2020 lost by 10,000 votes. Mm. Arizona had 730,000 evangelical Christians who did not vote. In Georgia, the Republican candidate for president lost by 11,000 votes, but there were 1,349,000 evangelical Christians who did not vote. And the same type of thing is happening in New Mexico. And the same things happens throughout the United States. These races are won on the state level and usually by a small margin. 10% is for New Mexico. In most of the cities in New Mexico, you need to find 10% more Christian votes to get people of values elected to office on the local and state level. It's so easy to do. If the pastors of the churches would stand up and take a stand for righteousness and say enough is enough. And
pastor, let me say that being here and not just my pastor, but there are pastors here that are doing that. And we would encourage those that are listening to pray for their pastor, to pray for that involvement. The other thing I want to touch on real quick, because whenever we get into a topic like this, it does seem to somewhat split the evangelical radio listener. You know, a lot of them tune out. You know, I don't want to hear about politics.
Right.
And let me say this about me, okay? For those that are listening that are like, man, Steve's just too political. Okay, let me explain this. I am a Christian first. And if you dig deep into wherever it is on my profile on social media, you'll find, you know, where it says, where do you lean politically? Well, I might be registered this way, you know, but I put under that heading, well, I'm a monarchist, but I'll vote conservative until King Jesus comes.
I love it.
We can't have that government here now. It's coming. But what we can do is have an impact on the government that is overseeing us, because we happen to have been, you know, put in a country where we're given that freedom. Some of that is coming from, you know, I'm a military kid. So, you know, dad made that clear to us. And I appreciate all those who've fought, and bled and died, to give us that freedom. So it is important. And there are pastors here, that, are being vocal about, engaging in the community and making resources available, in various ways. But yes, I would agree that, pastors who are not, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's really just a matter of ignorance as far as understanding what the issues are and what's happening. And how important would you say, Craig, is it for the evangelical to be informed and find those resources that they can better understand what's happening around them?
Oh, absolutely. So Christians need to be able to understand the issues and be able to then know how to find the right candidates and how to vote their values. And there's plenty of resources. For example, on my website at craighuey.com, we have a link to judgevoterguide.com. Every judge who's running for office, we rate them as whether or not they're a conservative or a radical judge, whether they're a strict constructionist or a judicial activist who wants to legislate from the bench. So you know how to vote your values. So, you know, circling back and taking a look at this, educating the body of Christ, the pastor can help do that. If he doesn't feel comfortable for doing it from the pulpit, at least he can talk about registering to vote, helping people register, setting up people within the fellowship to be able to have guest speakers to talk about the election, to go down the ballot. And individual Christians too, Steve, whether your pastor or church does something or not, you can do something. Everybody can do something. Again, circling back to the radical left, they concentrate on one-on-one marketing to get somebody to the poll. Christians should be relational. So within our own home Bible studies, within our own families, within our circle of friends, we should be able to make sure every one of those actually are registered and go out and vote. We can make sure that people in our local area are registered, that we know are Christians. We can make sure that those that we know can vote our values, they actually go to the poll. And again, we could offer to babysit. We could drive them to the poll.
Right.
We can help them fill out their ballot. Another thing that we can do is, if you have a listener right now who's so frustrated because they're lying in bed and, you know, they want to do something and they just can't physically, they can pray. Prayer is the foundation. Prayer is the beginning.
Amen.
And every Christian can do that. And then the second part is every single Christian here can see a good candidate and be able to say, I'm going to volunteer for that candidate and I'm going to make a difference. And I'm going to maybe you donate an hour or 5 hours or a day or a week or a month. You're working in that campaign. The radical left, they set people up and tell them exactly how to text a group of people. And they carry on relationships with texting. They do it by phone. The most powerful is door to door. And every campaign will give you a list of who to go to the door, trying to make sure they get out the vote. In the swing states, you know, a state like Pennsylvania, there were 1.4 million evangelicals who did not vote. And the more conservative Republican candidate for president lost by 81,000 votes. 1.4. They could be on the phone or texting people in Pennsylvania. But let's go back to New Mexico. I think Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, is a good example of what happens when a church pastor
Pastor Jack is on daily on KLYT.
And he's awesome. I've spoken many times at his church. He's invited me to come. I've spoken at his church and about the elections, about Christian worldview. What he does, he makes sure his congregation is registered to vote. And then he makes sure they get out to vote. Yeah. He makes sure they get out to vote so much that the Christians and conservatives, they've taken over the school board. They've taken over the city council. They've influenced the county elections. If he had 6 or 7 more churches in the local area, they could take over the state legislature elections. If he had about 10 or 12 churches, he could take over the congressional races in his area.
Right.
That's the power of the Christians. It's a secret weapon. It's a sleepy church that is allowing our culture and our society to go downhill, and it's going to go downhill even more if we turn this around.
We're going to do our best to wake them up. And Craig, we're just about out of time, but before you go, I want to throw out some stuff locally that our listeners can get involved in and educate themselves and be a part of making a difference. One of them we mentioned when it happened before at Calvary Church, and this is open to the entire community. In June, there's going to be a biblical citizenship course that's free. You know, it's a free class to take that talks about some of these things that we've been talking about. The other thing is, you know, most of the listeners, if they're a regular listener here, they're familiar with the Referendum Project. That's passé now since it made it to the New Mexico Supreme Court, and the Secretary of State deemed that the laws, I was going to say bills, they're, you know, they made it through their laws, can't have petitions to repeal them. She says that they involve safety. I believe that was the issue. But you can go to bettertogethernewmexico.org. In spite of the fact the Referendum Project is done, the Not My Kid petition is there to sign and be involved. And basically, they're going to take a stack of these signed petitions and hand deliver them to the representatives who are responsible for passing these laws that deal with voting rights protection, reproductive and gender-affirming health care, expanding Human Rights Act, election changes, reproduction health provider protections, school-based health cares, and so on and so forth. And there's a lot of great information there. You can also go to sites like the Rio Grande Foundation. We have Paul Gessing on regularly. Or you can go to abqconnect.online and go re-listen to the shows that we've covered these on. But Craig, I want to make sure people also know that CraigHuey.com is available as a resource. They'll find information on the books that we mentioned there, and You know, as you continue to, I'm imagining you're continually updating that information there.
Oh yes.
It's a resource that people can go to, and I'll be real quick on this too. Not just during the presidential election year, but the small elections, the school board.
Yes.
Every time there's an opportunity, we need to be a part of that. And I thank you so much for mentioning prayer as we head towards the National Day of Prayer here in just 2 days. We're going to be down at Civic Plaza, and we're going to hear from Vince Torres, and the Christian community is going to be mobile out at the National Day of Prayer. Look for details on that at lovenm.com. And you can also look for information on that by going to our website, klyt.fm. You'll find the banner posted there for the National Day of Prayer and how you can find information. But Craig, again, appreciate all that you've already done, you're doing, your time today, and an open invite. We hope you'll come back and talk to us again as you continue to get that information out.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for joining us daily, 1 o'clock on ABQ Connect.